Hey everyone, this is Austin. Thanks for tuning in to the Flight Test Podcast number 27. Today we talk about all kinds of fun stories about Joe Nahl 2014. Josh Bixler, his wife Jen Bixler, and Alex Zavada hop in the podcast with me. Tell some really fun stories about the trip, and I hope that you guys enjoy. Of course, there'll be a regular video recap of Joe Nahl 2014. Probably a week from today, maybe a little bit longer than that. Those usually require a lot of editing magic, so thank you for giving us a little bit of time on that. Today's sponsor for the podcast is Amazon. Have something that you're going to be buying on Amazon or thinking about buying on Amazon soon? If you go to flighttest.com and click the podcast icon in the upper right-hand corner, you can go to episode 27, and there's an Amazon banner on that page, and if you click on that banner and make the purchase you were going to make anyway, a small percentage of the proceeds go to Flight Test. So we appreciate you doing that. Okay, enjoy the episode. We should get somebody to come in and actually take a picture. Lean in.
Max, get in. Ta-da.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ta-da. It's like that selfie song. I heard it the other day on American Idol.
We can text
Let me take a selfie.
I got a decent picture. We can do that.
Okay, cool.
So how was Joe Nahl, everybody?
Oh, yeah, we started, haven't we?
Yes, we've already started.
I always forget that we just start now impromptu.
Yeah.
You didn't get the whole singing part, did you?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Might make for a good intro.
You know what? People are going to go nuts right now because they hear a lady's voice. So we should introduce ourselves.
We should. I'm Austin Fury.
I'm Alex Zavada.
My name's Josh Bixler.
And I'm Jen Bixler.
That's my wife, guys. Just so you know.
Just hang out here.
there's two Jen Bixlers that work here. One is my sister-in-law. She works here part-time in fulfillment. And then Jen also works in that. So when we talk about Jen Bixler, you always got to specify which one.
It's true.
All right. Too much information.
The Jens. That's
yeah. What I call Hi, Jen.
So, Hi. Jen, what were you up to this weekend at Joe Nahl?
Well, I was talking to Josh on the way here. It's kind of weird because I was, of course, his wife, the mom, and then doing sales at the little store we set up. So
mm-hmm.
A lot of different.
Make sure you don't pound on the desk.
A lot of different things.
Hey, do you want my billing key light?
No, I'm good.
The billing key light helps a lot.
So for those of you who don't know, we were at Joe Nahl, which is a huge flying event here in the States in South Carolina at a beautiful airstrip. It's a full-scale airstrip called
Tripletree Aerodrome.
Aerodrome, yeah.
Yeah, 400 acres of awesome.
I was going to say, just for clarification, what do you mean by huge?
Huge!
I mean, it's massive.
As
six flight lines?
Yeah, I believe a total of six flight lines, and they could have put more in there.
Yeah, but the flight lines were huge. They had control line, they had 3D flight line, and it's the biggest event in the world.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, it has to be
the biggest. the biggest RC gathering in the world, from what I understand. And the neat thing is, like we talk about flight lines, there was no overlap either. You know, even the turbine jets were the ones that got closest to where we were based, which was the electric flight line, and they weren't even fully crossing over.
Yeah.
So this place is so big, it's not even funny, but also so well manicured.
400 acres is a lot of acres.
It is a lot of acres, which, by the way, I think we should just head off, bring a golf cart or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or a Barbie Jeep.
Or a Barbie Jeep, as Peter wrote. We'll talk about that in a minute.
There's a lot of interesting forms of transportation there.
Yes.
But you definitely, at the very minimum, bring a bike, and that's probably still going to be miserable because it's on a big hill.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing we learned last year, which when we just basically huffed it everywhere.
Yeah.
And got lucky a couple times, somebody picked us up. But, like, 400 acres, we should have known, because they have a very finite amount of golf cart rentals, which I think they actually increased this year.
They
like
did, and there was a waiting list of over 50 people.
That's another funny story. Which
we should back up and actually talk about, like, leading up to Travels Everything.
Yeah, yeah. But okay. For those of you who don't know, last year was the first time Flight Test went to Joe Nahl, and it was Josh, David, and Austin.
Yeah,
was that it?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I guess so.
In a Class C that broke down.
That's right, yeah.
But you know what? That was
a little baby RV.
That wasn't a problem this time. This time we took the Murata, the same one we took the Ceph, Neff Brothers RV, neffbrothersrv.com, hooked us up with the Murata, And by the way, this is where I'm going to give the plug for Flight Fest. They're giving a discount if you rent an RV from them for Flight Fest. And you mention Flight Test or Flight Fest, you get a $75 gift card. So I know I think a 3 or 4 have already been rented. They have a pretty large fleet. But I thought that was pretty exceptional of them to do that. So thank you, Neff Brothers. We drove the same vehicle with bunk beds, except this time I got the big bed because I got to go down with my bride.
There you go.
So this year it was me, Josh.
Yep.
Dave Knopp, the camera guy, Jen.
And my two boys.
And Josh's two boys, Michael and Noah.
My two very hyper-energetic boys.
And lots of Mountain Dew.
Yes. Noah wasn't as bad as Mike.
Yeah, Michael was a ball of energy.
He got a little...
How do you guys handle that, by the way?
I fed him an energy drink.
Yeah, why?
Yes, he did. When we
why
were
did
the
you do that
for dinner?
I just wanted to see what would happen.
At like 10 o'clock at night.
Bad things happen. Okay, it's like you don't feed the gremlins or the little things after midnight. You know. So yeah, we rented an RV and it was quite hectic. And Alex, I gotta applaud you, brother, because we had a really cramped schedule. Just previous to this, Dave Knopp and I flew out to Orlando, Florida. The nice folks at Parrot gave us the opportunity to see the release or the debut of the Bebop drone. And so we went to Orlando for the AUVSI show and got to get a personal demonstration and see the product for the first time. And they actually let us fly it, try it out, and of course in the process of that, crash it a bunch. And I got to say, this thing is far more durable than the Parrot 1 and Parrot 2. The Bebop drone is made to be wrecked and flown hard. Still working a lot of bugs out of it. There's a lot of functionality that they had there, but it was still glitchy. But it's also pre-production. They were literally prototypes flying. And what it was doing functionally was pretty amazing. So I think people, it's crossing from toy to entry level in the hobby, much like the DJI Phantom.
Yeah. So I forget who, I think it was you, Austin. You said something like, Chad, when he before flight flight test, he just wanted to figure out a way to make a camera fly.
Yes.
And I was thinking about it. If this Bebop thing existed back then, flight test probably would have never existed. It's so easy for somebody who has no clue.
Yeah.
To film from the sky and get halfway decent video.
And that was really his only real thought, is to get a camera in the air to give good quality shots. And Parrot 1 and 2 were good for toys, but they were just kind of gimmicky when it came to capturing footage.
Mm-hmm.
This one, they actually took a 180-degree fisheye, and they digitally remastered it, you know, instantly, so you'd have no warpage. But then you could also use it for stabilization and panning, which was quite exceptional. And, yeah, is it going to be used for, like, what you do, Alex, or what we do, you know, racing through woods and stuff? I don't think so. Their Sky Controller does give you the features of flying it like a normal RC plane, which is cool. And it also gives you supposedly like 2 kilometers of range. So it takes away that whole argument of I can't fly over 100 feet away from me.
Yeah.
Features like return to home, all those things. It looks like they're really going after the Phantom market, you know, with this. Because instead of having throttle, you have altitude control, which frankly I did not like. I think you should be able to learn how to use throttle, not I want to go up and I want to go down.
Yeah. But to be fair, Dave Knopp,
he schooled us all.
Yeah, I mean, like, he flew it great, you know, and he's, you know, barely touched the controls. I don't think he's ever flown a multirotor.
No, not really.
And it was a pretty overwhelming experience because, I mean, they were trying Gen 1 Oculus Rifts. They put them on our head, so we had the head tracking, and you could look around any which way you want. It was fully immersive, which was amazing. The resolution was low, but it was only Gen 1.
Yeah.
And it was pretty amazing. Dave put it on, and he flew it like a pro, better than Kyle, better than myself. And, I mean, he was right up there with all the engineers, which is phenomenal.
But, I think it's interesting that they're making a pretty strong distinction between the AR drones and the Bebop drone.
It's not even the same model.
Yeah, it's not even an evolution, really. It's a totally separate thing. And I think that it's good just because, you know, there are a lot of people that want to go up and, you know, take footage and get that experience. And, you know, the people that have an Oculus Rift or interested in that sort of thing, it's an excuse to use that. And I think that it'll be a really great experience for people. And this wasn't released by Parrot, but I was reading this in an article somewhere that they're going for a price point that's half to a third of the DJI Phantom 2.
Yes.
So, you know, for what is it, $1,000 for DJI Phantom 2?
I think it's a little
there.
More than that.
Maybe a little more than that. So, I mean,
and still got to buy your goggles.
Right.
Still got to buy all that equipment. So,
if they can get that in the ballpark of like $300-$400 or so, like, of course, it's not an entry quad, you know, but that's not the point of it. The point of it is that it can take footage. And, you know, so I think it'll have its place.
Well, and do you know it also has waypoints?
Yeah, you're right, which
that's
is like
pretty huge.
It has some pretty substantial technology in it that some people really benefit from.
Well, and the parrot companies, they're going to get us pre-release before they put them in production. They're going to last try it out. Also, their mini drone, as they call it, which I'm actually more fascinated with the mini drone for some purposes because they're phenomenal. And they have a little jumping sumo, I think is what they call a little robot, which is a little car that jumps.
That's funny.
But it was pretty it's pretty amazing. But
jumping sumo.
Yeah, these are all toys. But the thing I like about this is it crosses – it gives you an entry into the hobby that's not too far of a stretch. Like flying off of an iPad is cool. And a lot more people own Android. It's Android or iPad. It runs off of both softwares, which I think a lot of people are asking about. But that technology – you can usher into actually flying full-blown multi-rotors with the transmitter. Sky controller is pretty crazy cool, but at least it gives you the stick moments. It gives you the ability to understand how to fly. And if you get really proficient in this, you'll be able to jump over to multi-rotors without having too much of a curve like you did in the past. So that was that. But the reason, that Alex, I was applauding you is...
Which, by the way, there's a video that they shot down in Florida, which is up on the YouTube. So if you haven't, check it out.
It's called Parrot Bebop drone preview.
Yes. You got it. So yeah, we'll definitely be doing some episodes and putting through your paces, giving some honest feedback. But Alex was left alone to take care of getting all our models ready, and then Jen was left alone to get all our product ready, and they both hit it out of the park. Did phenomenal, because we literally rolled in, the RV was delivered by Neff Brothers, and we jumped in the RV within an hour and we were on the road.
So you got back from you got in from a flight from Orlando.
Yeah, we literally
and
drove.
Then Alex and Jen were getting everything ready.
Yeah,
and then you guys hopped on the RV.
The RV was delivered to us.
Right.
Yeah, and we were on the road by I think like 8 o'clock at night, and so it was pretty impressive. And you guys did great running the show. Maybe I should be gone more often. I don't know.
<'Cause>, there you go.
Yeah, hats off to you guys. We hit the road and we drove to how long?
About, I don't know, I was asleep.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think it was 3 in the morning.
Yeah, we drove to about 3, and Jen got me an awesome energy drink that was, like, double-powered. And there was the most beautiful lightning storm going through the mountains. And it looked like, honestly, someone was flickering, you know, God's flashlight, because it would just light up everything. But it was one of the most beautiful, neatest drives I ever had. It wasn't, like, the scary stuff, no high winds or anything, but amazing lightning storm. And Dave Knopp and Jennifer and you, Alex, they all kept me awake. And then we crashed right at the North Carolina border overnight and woke up in the morning and continued on. We should talk about Fats.
Oh.
The Southern Hospitality. And my kids love the lady at Fats.
Yeah, we visited the giant peach again.
Yes, that peach is going to always be visited by us. We're going to be 80 years old visiting the peach.
When we're going that way.
But we visited the peach and we didn't fly around it, but we went in and got a bite to eat before heading off and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you guys ever see the peach, just stop in and Fats. They're awesome.
Good it's a cafe, them. By the way, for those of you who are wondering what Fats
yeah.
is.
It's a restaurant, yeah. And we rolled into Triple Tree.
So what was your guys' first impressions? Obviously, Josh, you've been there before.
Yeah.
Alex and Jen haven't been there before. So what was your guys' first impressions rolling in?
Well, it was extremely overwhelming. It was like, what time would you say we got there? Like,
it was just before 2.
Yeah, so it was like midday... pretty much like rush hour of
like
the event.
Full swing.
Yeah. And we're driving this giant RV in, and there's like golf carts like weaving. It's like,
it's like rush hour.
It's like downtown traffic, and there's pedestrians everywhere. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, holy cow. I knew it was big, but I had no idea it was that big. It's massive how many people are actually there.
Yeah, overwhelmingly. And, I know the kids were glued to the window. There was a Bill Hempel's half-scale Fokker triplane flying around, you know, while we were doing it. And it looked like a full-scale just buzzing around there and everything.
Yeah, it was a cool plane.
But, yeah, we got registered in there, and there were people. I wish – I'm horrible with names. There was two gentlemen. We rolled in and looked off to our right, and these two young men made a sign for us.
Yeah, there was a sign. It said, like, welcome flight test.
You
it
guys,
was pretty awesome.
You guys made our day from the very beginning. So I kind of love to take time to make a sign saying welcome. It meant a lot.
They were waiting for us. I couldn't believe it. As soon as they saw us, they, like, pointed and started screaming. It was funny.
Yeah, but they're phenomenal, phenomenal people. I got to meet them and their dad, too.
He was flying a Striker around with that puffy battery.
Yes, with a very – yeah, you think I puff my battery.
Yeah,
that
thing was sketchy.
So, we rolled in, found a parking spot. Laser Toys is nice enough. They were able to secure a spot, and I felt bad because we shouldn't get any treatment like that, but they got us an amazing spot on the front line. So Laser Toys, thank you for taking the time and doing that for us. We pulled in and started setting up. And Jen, you did a great job because I think people kind of jumped in real quick wanting some product.
They kind of followed the RV down.
Yeah.
As soon as we stopped and got out, do you have stuff?
Yeah. Jen runs our fulfillment right now. And it was pretty amazing because we brought a lot of product down because Laser Toys wasn't carrying our planes. We told them, we'll bring everything. You sell the motors. And so Jen was down there to do that as well as kind of, you know, experience it from a wife aspect and help us with the kids. And it was pretty overwhelming, the amount of people that we got to meet in just the first day. And going back to it, it just touches us deeply. Guys, if we ever go to an event, we want to meet each and every one of you and take time. That's more important than flying. It's more important than building. We want to shake your hands, and we want to spend time with you. So please, you know, come by our tent and take time to if you want to speak to us or you want to meet us, you know, we want to meet you more. So please do that.
So, Jen, what was your first impression?
I was honestly shocked there were so many trees, and it was so hilly. I was expecting,
oh, yeah,
you know, more of just
flat field.
Flat, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I don't know.
A lot of trees. Big lake, too.
A lot of trees, yeah. It was prettier.
Yeah.
Than I anticipated.
It's a beautiful location.
Well, there's so much space that there's a nice flat area of the landing strip, which is ideal for flight lines. Mm-hmm. But then the rest of the place really is kind of like a park.
It is, yeah.
Like there's a lot of, it kind of does feel kind of a park atmosphere.
Out of all the flight lines, what was your favorite?
You already know this, but the 3D yes. line. I enjoy that the most.
3D line. My wife likes the 3D giant scale planes a lot.
That is the most exciting flight line, I have to say.
But. And the 3D, I don't know, the atmosphere down there is the guys, the pilots and everybody down there, they're all real nice.
Yeah. They definitely have a good setup down there, too.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's beautiful. They have the best of all the worlds because they have a pond.
Mm-hmm.
They have a nice runway. They have that the new park, which apparently is new. They just added behind the 3D line, there's like a little park area with like little ponds and a river, bridges over the water and some trees.
Well, and I found out, remember when we were going to Ceph and we asked to drop in and they're saying, well, we're adding 25 acres. That was where they're adding to it. So just, you know, a little over a month before, they were still seeding and terrascaping and everything. And wow, to see it.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, it's pretty open because you got to fly your multirotor through that. And the reason was because there's a huge storm cell coming through.
Yeah.
That night going in through the next whole day. So unfortunately, all these people have paid you know, premium spots. They had to, it was like relocating a city.
Yeah.
And we turned in within 1 hour or so, you know, 100 plus RVs were relocated to like on the runway. So where the electric line ended, the city of RVs began. And that was because they were afraid of the rain overtaking the banks and flooding out and obviously washing away
and
some RVs.
I think they did. They said it ended up with about 2 inches down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably good that they moved then.
And everyone was really gracious about it. You know, they all understood and still, you know, it didn't dimp. And, you know, I didn't see anyone walking around bitter or angry at all.
No. Everybody there was happy.
Yeah.
As they should be.
Yeah, as they should be. Yeah.
Yeah. No reason not to be.
It's kind of amazing that each flight line, like the 3D and the electric and the heli and the sport or however many there are, there's like six of them. It's kind of funny how they're each like their own little village.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can go visit other people's villages.
Yeah.
You know?
It's exactly what it's like.
I always compared to last year, I compared it to like if it was Disneyland for dudes, this would be Epcot because you have all the little tiny towns, you know, 3D town and electric town. And the electric line actually doubled in size between last year and this year. To the point where they're going to be adding on to that area next, from what I understand.
That's insane.
Where we parked, you know, the RVs didn't even hit us. We were kind of off on our own overlooking. Well, when we rolled in on Wednesday, it had already passed where we parked before, and it was just jam-packed full of RVs. So, guys, if you want to go, pre-register, get there as early as possible and get your spot because they are adding space, but the way this is growing, if it doubles again, it's going to be pretty congested.
Which we got there Wednesday, so we were there like the last 4 days, but it's like a 2 week event, right?
Yeah, it was last week. Last year, I think it was like a 1 week event, and now they stretch it to a week and a half.
So next year,
and people get there like 3 days early.
Yes.
So for a lot of people, it is a 2 week event.
Yeah, it's eye opening.
And not everybody stays the whole time, but there's enough people there that it's crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's how we got our spot. Someone had left the day before we got there.
Yeah, and then
that's
Laser
nice.
Toys jumped in and said, hey, do you mind if we save it for the flight test guys? And, yeah, people are very gracious because I didn't want to be those people that have spots saved for us. So for all you guys that were very gracious and letting that spot stay saved, I had, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, big time. So, yeah, basically we set up on Wednesday, and I got to fellowship, got to do a little bit of flying. And then Wednesday night through – oh, yeah, we built. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of cool. We busted out some foam planes, and a lot of people were kind of new to swappables. So we kind of just demoed, you know, how to build a swappable in front of them. We didn't really build anyone else's planes, but we just built in front of them, just demonstrating, you know, the techniques. And that was cool because a lot of them didn't know how to build, and there wasn't good enough internet, so they couldn't watch a video. So we just showed it, and in the process, because they knew it was going to rain the next day, a lot of them took kits into their tents, and then they built during that rainy time because it started pouring down around, what, 10:30?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was like 10:15.
Yeah, right when we started building
and
the craft.
And it rained all through Thursday, pretty much.
It was so wet and muddy.
It was a swamp.
Was it pretty muddy?
Oh,
my
golly.
Yeah.
It's specifically in our campsite because there's so much foot traffic. People were walking all around, and it was like a mud pit.
I kept taking steps and squirting Jen and Alex with my shoes.
Yeah.
I kept splattering.
Yeah, it was pretty rude.
I was a jerk. And then I'd walk in the RV forgetting to take off my shoes, and, you know, Jen and Alex would yell at me.
It's tough to keep Bixler in line.
I'm kind of oblivious to some things.
It takes a whole crew.
You know, squirting people. So Jen was there to you know, try to help enforce the rules a little bit too, which was good. But yeah, we built probably like five planes through that rainy time. We all kind of hunkered under the awning, and there's some great gentlemen. We built two or three Bloody Wonders and FT3D, and helped some other people put some planes back together. And that's one of the coolest things is even if you have bad weather with these events, you can really still make a lot of memories and have a lot of fun just by bringing some projects along. So, you know, guys, I would challenge you, you know, bring stuff to either repair your planes or to build planes while you're going to these events that are week-long. And if you're going to stay for the long haul, because if you do get, you know, bad weather, you have something to do that's fun. And speaking of something to do that's fun, do you remember Alex? Mm-hmm. Not you, Alex, but young Alex.
Yeah. He built a tricopter.
He built a backbone while I was down there.
And like one night.
Yeah. He was up. We rolled in from the 3D line super late at night. And
which he was in the Jonal video from last year, and his sister.
He's about a foot taller now. And it freaks me out because everyone you see the year before, you don't recognize him because he's little kids.
Right.
I'm not trying to call him little kid. He wasn't that little. But just in 1 year span, he completely, you know, grew up another whole year. Micah was there.
Oh, yeah. Micah from Neat.
Yeah. And Jen, you got to meet Micah for the first time, right? That was the gentleman that paints. He paints beautiful scale cockpits as a side business now. So,
nice.
Check out his website.
Micah does?
Yeah.
Young Micah.
I got to show you his card he gave me. It's amazing.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll have to. Can we get that link to him?
Yeah,
show notes?
Yeah, just remind me. Yeah, we'll throw that. If you guys go to flighttest.com, you can click on the podcast icon. This will be episode
something.
Episode 27.
Oh, and by the way, we're recording today, the day it's released.
Yes.
So
super professional.
Yep. Matter of fact, as soon as the podcast is done, I got to deliver the RV back. So it may be shorter today.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll keep it at reasonable length.
But so Micah was there. I didn't even recognize him.
He's grown a lot too.
Yeah, what a great young man. And Jen, you got your first experience with the high tech guys. What were your thoughts?
Yeah. I did. I have to be honest. At first, I was not sure because they seemed like the cool kids in the group, and I was like, they're probably going to be...
Party animals?
Yeah. I wasn't expecting, but actually, it was probably the best dinner we had that night. The guys were great to me and the kids. They set up the, I don't know, Xbox, PlayStation, something for the boys.
Yeah, a PS4 for the kids to play.
Made sure they had food since we weren't eating till late. They were just genuinely really nice
guys.
They
had like a 50-inch LED TV in their tent.
Michael loved it, yeah.
Sean was telling me that the night before we had dinner there, they had a rave in their tent.
He said he was by himself for most of it.
Yeah, and they literally had like a subwoofer and a smoke machine and disco lights. Which if you're ever at an event, definitely go meet the high-tech guys. They are a riot. They're really funny.
Oh, they're the greatest.
Well, was it Mike that during the... combat knocked you out of there, and he had a business card.
The following day after that evening, you know, the rain let up
the day before.
Rain let up midday, and that's when we did this combat before we went to meet them for dinner. And also a shout out while we're talking to Bill Blair from Whirly Bird Videos. The very first day we were there, they had us down for ribs.
Yeah, they're very nice too.
You got to meet that group.
Yeah, the
well.
Heli line.
Yeah,
which surprisingly, the heli line was probably the
most sparse.
Yeah, there was definitely a ton of people there, but there was open camping spaces.
A little more elbow room.
Yeah, which is actually kind of nice.
A little more room to breathe. I think earlier in the week is when the helis were the busiest, and then it kind of trickled out as the – because I think people travel from a farther distance with those helis.
Mm.
But it was still pretty darn amazing. But, yeah, they fed us some amazing ribs and then treated us like gold too. We actually didn't eat a single – have to cook a single dinner the whole time.
Yeah.
The first night was the heli guys, Whirly Bird Videos, Bill Blair and his wonderful crew. And the second night was the Laser Toys had us over with some of their friends, and it was good food, and thank you for that. And then the third night was High Tech, and it was quite interesting. What were we talking about with High Tech?
The business card.
The business card, yes. Before we went down to High Tech, we wanted an impromptu strategic combat, and that was something that was announced from the PA guys, but not everyone got their planes built. So we kind of expanded a little bit, and word of mouth got out.
I think there's only two Precision Aerobatics guys that actually got a plane built.
Originally, it was supposed to be, you know, 6+ Bloody Wonders on one side and, like, 6+ on the other, and it didn't quite work out. But you know what? We started word of mouth, and, hey, we're going to do some fun strategic combat. And it was a little clunky, but we learned a lot in trying to figure out what we're going to do for Flight Fest, some games.
But the only big crash was you and Mike.
Yes, Mike Mayberry. I don't know who hit who.
But the rest of them were just batteries falling.
It was one of the most spectacular impacts because
it was pretty good.
And it was hilarious because we were standing back watching me and a group of people, and as soon as you guys hit each other, went over and started hugging, and we're like, yeah, thanks for killing my plane, man. It's awesome.
Before the planes even really, like, the wing was still floating through the air.
Your wing was still floating.
I was flying a Mustang. I didn't have time to finish my Bloody Wonder. And so I was flying a Mustang, and we hit hard, and we just laughed our heads off. But I'm hugging Mike, you know, congratulating him on the spectacular hit. And here Nick Frederick, yeah. Nick Nachos, was writing up a card. He goes, here you go. And he hands me this card, and it's a High Tech card. And I think we took a picture of it, so we'll definitely have it in the show notes.
I just sent it to you, Austin.
Awesome.
It's pre-typed up and everything.
It's pre-typed up, and it's like...
It's a design business card, and it has the High Tech logo, and it says, our deepest apologies, we are truly sorry for, and then there's four check boxes, and the ones, they say, the mid-air collision is one, breaking the rules, Mike Mayberry, or other.
So what strikes me is High Tech is not just Mike Mayberry. There's Sean, there's Nick, there's a lot of great people
he's
there.
He's the only one with a business.
So he's the only one with a checkbox.
Right.
So in realism, it could be we were sincerely sorry for Mike Mayberry.
So yeah, your checkboxes were for the mid-air collision and for Mike Mayberry. So you got two. Checks.
I know, I got two. And I think honestly, if they really played the cards right, they could check all four plus the other.
Yeah.
You know? But it was definitely a memory. And I think next year, what I saw was the fault was because we had different airplanes in it. I think for Flight Fest, we should do a strategic combat with like Bloody Wonders only, mm-hmm. because those things will pull a 100-foot-long streamer. And the original idea was that everyone had a full streamer, you know, of two different teams, and then you go after those streamers, and then the longest amount of total streamers wins, you know, at the end of the flying.
It does make it more fun, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we learned a lot. It was not necessarily a huge success, but it wasn't a failure at the same time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And thank you, High Tech guys. They came in last minute and boosted the numbers considerably.
So it was fun.
Gave away a free plan. The one gentleman, you had both streamers on, and a nice young man.
Oh, it took out one of my streamers.
Took out your streamer.
With a Striker.
Gave him a free plane, and that was fun. And beyond that, let's see, what else was there? There's so much.
There was a lot. Yeah, there was a huge turbine jet that crashed.
On the electric flight line.
Yeah, right in front of the electric flight line.
Brutal.
Which... it was an epic crash, but it was also fairly scary.
Yeah, well, it wasn't just like a crunch. It was pieces and debris trails, right?
Yeah, it crashed, and the debris, like, it must have been 50 feet of debris, and it didn't catch on fire, luckily, or didn't explode, but it was smoking quite a bit.
Yeah,
I guess he lost an elevator or something. He was inverted, or I don't know what happened.
Something bad.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You mentioned, I didn't even know this, but they sound a horn once in a while, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The first day we were there, there was a beautiful twin-engine big gas airplane.
Like a DC-3 or something.
Or it was like a BH-18. It had civilian paint. It wasn't a military plane. But anyways, it was a beautiful plane. It was flying around, and all of a sudden I hear this big horn. It's like, wah! And everyone's like, oh, somebody's in trouble. Somebody's going down. I was actually with Sean, and he's the one who explained it. I guess they have a horn. When there's a plane in trouble, they sound it off, and everyone starts watching.
Everyone looks at the sky.
This twin-engine lost an engine, and it was all flying around all weird. And he was trying to turn left to bring it down and land it, but his left engine was out. So he basically brought it into a climb, stalled it out, tip stalled into a nosedive right towards the trees. And at the very last minute, he cut the throttle and pulled up and just glided in and did a 3-point landing. And everybody just went nuts.
And I was like, man. Well, and the scale flight line is one that we really don't go up to too much because I'm almost afraid to walk through there. They're so beautiful, so big, and so expensive. But oftentimes you see some of the most spectacular, crazy things happening because these guys are top-notch builders but not always flyers.
Yeah.
And that guy was obviously a flyer.
Yeah.
he knew what he's doing. So hats off to you.
Ironically, that probably made his week.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to
– I never saw that plane fly again for the rest of the week.
Well, and that Bill Hempel's huge triplane I was talking about earlier, that was actually taller than you.
Yeah. Oh, it was huge. And apparently it's a ARF.
Yes.
So you can buy – it comes pre-covered. It's probably like $5,000. Actually, I don't know. But it's probably really expensive.
just throwing a number out there.
I think it was $5,890.
Yeah. But it was awesome. It
seemed expensive.
It flew so slow.
Yeah.
Which the real ones did too. So it looked really scale.
I don't think we'd be flying in our backyard here.
No.
It took a runway.
You could put Max in it probably.
Oh,
I could put Michael in it.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
We went in the tent and we were looking it over, and I'm looking at Michael, looking at the plane, looking at Michael. I'm like,
Hold on, buddy.
So, yeah. Yeah. No, I would not put my son in a plane.
Maybe with a 5-point harness.
At least not when it's taken off. You did put them in your Pete and Paul way back, or not your.
My big monster slowpoke, Noah, was actually small enough. I was able to slip it around with you sitting in it. It's kind of funny. it would never fly very far, though, with him in it.
Very far.
We had our
own mishap. What was it, Thursday? You had a battery catch on fire.
Oh, my golly,
almost
yes.
Burnt, and you just, like, chucked it at one high-tech guy.
I want to just go on the record saying I hate fire, and now when I see fire, I want to kill it. I want to kill it with,
and apparently
you know,
high-tech.
Yeah, well.
Who was that? Was it Avery or?
I believe it was Avery.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't Brandon, right? Avery.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I hope it was Avery. Avery, if it's not you, I'm sorry. And the other high-tech guy, I messed up his name. I apologize, too. But, yeah, one of the great high-tech guys was there. And, by the way, he was so phenomenal with my kids. Michael and Noah are now
I noticed that. That was cool. All the high-tech guys were really good.
Yeah.
Mike was like we went over for dinner. It was a little bit later of dinner, like 9 o'clock. But Mike Mayberry made sure the kids got fed with pizza, custom-made pizza. He's like, are you sure you don't want any more pizza?
Nice. He's definitely – Jen, you spoke out about this and stuff. They may seem like wild and crazy guys, but they're all family guys. They all love their family. They're all very devoted. So when they see a kid, they really engage with them. And that really.
And because of that, Mike ended up getting a 3D plane when we were down there.
Yes.
And
he
has been flying it since we got home. Oh, my gosh.
I saw the picture of that. Yeah. That's a nice little plane.
He's thoroughly excited.
He wanted to sleep with it last night.
Yes,
apparently.
He did. I think he carried it around from the time it was given to him until. Yeah.
It's a little Edge 540 or something like that.
We should really do a review on that. I took it up for the maiden. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is a phenomenal plane.
And he actually flew it yesterday and did pretty good.
He flew three batteries through it. And Dan from Laser Toys, it was one of his. And it was very special to Dan. And Dan gave it to Michael. And that was
– after Mike visited it for the 30th time.
Five times, yeah. And so, Dan, if you're listening to this, thank you. You made my child's day. But he flew that thing. And he actually
– hovered.
Yeah, and the high-tech guys inspired him so much. He actually hovered it and flew it inverted. I've never seen my son fly inverted, number one, other than a simulator.
One of them kind of offered to give him tips, too.
I think that was Avery as well. Yeah. But going back to the battery, I was talking to a bunch of people, and we were building.
And it just started shooting flames.
Yeah, it sounded like a jet was roaring up next, and we look over, and everyone's like, whoa! And sure enough, the battery on both ends of the 2200 was blowing out a nice, happy flame. And,
wow.
I grabbed and I felt bad because Avery was in a very bad spot because I grabbed the whole charger and just ripped it out of the DC power supply with the battery attached and threw it, across the yard. And it's not a huge area, so I threw it where it was open, but it still managed to be a flaming ball of fire past poor Avery's arm. And I think it took some hair off. So sorry about that, Avery. I know there was a smell later, and it's probably your hair on your arm.
A lot of the guys complimented you on quick reflexes.
I hate fire. Yeah, it makes me mad.
The moral of the story is light bulbs are dangerous.
Yeah, and don't ever, there's a lot of cubbies in the RV, and I chose not to charge the batteries in the cubbies in the RV like we did at Seth. Remember that? We had that little overhang?
Yeah, that was not a
That would have burned the RV down. So, guys, if you ever drive a camper, an RV, anything, keep them on a table separate away because that, no doubt, there's no way we would have been able to reach
it. It burnt the table up pretty well.
Yeah, that was where all the damage was just on the table, thank goodness. But you know, that's an eye opener. And a lot of people, I know the gentleman next door to us.
He was concerned.
Yeah.
He was there with his kids.
Yeah, we got to give them a shout out. Yeah. Joshua, Caleb, I forget his sister's
You're
name.
You're already doing better than it. Better
okay,
than
Joshua and Caleb were two of them, and then their parents were wonderful. But he actually built, he got the plans for the P-51.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, this is like herding cats. We're all over the place. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. This isn't necessarily going in timeline.
Just telling stories here.
But, yeah, telling stories. But they got the plans for the P-51, but they had, I think, almost half of our swappable line.
Yeah, all painted up. They had a Viggen. They had a P-51.
All scratch built, too, which was hats off. And one thing, guys, you know, we always say a lot, but I'll say it again, is we want people to fall in love with scratch building. So whether it's downloading our plans or whether it's tracing out a speedboat kit, please do it because we want you to be able to recreate that. Or if a buddy gets into it, you can build a plane with them for free. You know, that's the best way to seize an opportunity is you know, whipping one out and cutting one out really quick. And they did a great job, you know, cutting theirs together.
I got to talk to their mom, and I think it was the night before they were leaving is when they built the P-51.
Yeah.
They were up most of the night. They wanted to get that one done and show you, so.
Yeah. And mom said something that she allowed them to have a messy room before they left, you know.
Yeah.
Amazing
Typically
family.
The room's cleaned up and.
Yeah,
that and there's no internet in the bedroom, kind of like what we do with the boys. And she said he'd run downstairs, watch part of it, run upstairs, run back to, and so finally she's like, why don't you just take it upstairs? And he respected her enough. He left it downstairs. But, yeah, it was funny.
They said something very powerful and it meant a lot. And, Alex, I don't know if you got to hear this, but I got this from three different families, is that they don't let their kids watch content on the internet without supervision.
Or even podcasts.
Or podcasts. But both podcasts and the internet – they'll allow them if it's flight test.
And the one and little kid, I think, was like six.
Yeah.
And he was listening to your podcasts.
Which is funny. Yeah. I can't picture that. So we're going to stay very committed to making sure this stays as family-friendly as possible. And that's where our heart is, too. But it meant a lot, you know, for parents to be that devoted to their kids, you know, that involved. And by the way, that's Max.
Hi, Max.
But also and to give an open door and have that trust with us. Thank you for that. We don't take it for granted.
Is Dave Knopf here?
Dave Knopf may be here. If Dave Knopf comes in, we're going to rope him in to this.
Yeah, we need to get him in for
this whole thing. Absolutely.
So I'm sure they'll. Well, I know there'll be a just like last year, Gen Con 2013. There'll be a big video recap. And that takes a lot of work, a lot of editing. So that'll maybe next week, maybe the week after that, we'll see.
And, and forgive us, you're going to hear a lot of the stories over again. But what you'll also see is the video, hopefully, of a lot of it.
Yeah, so. But this is the audio version. So
this is the audio. I know this is your preview.
This is a preview. Yeah, so I know a lot of people, you know, like they can't watch videos at work or something like that, but they can't listen or in their car, that sort of thing. So I think that double telling some stories is just fine.
Yeah.
Speaking of double telling stories, there was I saw a picture on Facebook of a enormous, looks like it was made of cardboard, cargo plane.
Oh, Peter's plane.
So what's the deal with that?
Foam and tape.
Yes. Oh, I love that guy. Peter, we love you.
is that his mode of transportation better than anything.
Oh, my gosh. Why don't you tell us about that mode of transportation?
It was like a kid's Barbie Jeep, I think. They put a huge motor on it. It was hysterical.
Like a 10-horse motor on the
back. It's like a sparkle princess on the side. It was hysterical.
They had two of them. And then they had a little Barbie scooter.
Yes.
And electric kid scooter, and that was their transportation.
That's hilarious.
The dad was driving. There's one point we went to the 3D line to shoot some content, and the dad was,
dad was on.
Peter, and then Peter's friend, I believe.
Yeah, and then Peter's brother.
Yes, who's riding on the back of the golf cart with us. That was a safari picture.
Yeah.
And then all the way in the back, driving this little Barbie scooter that I don't know how he even was able to sit on it, was Peter's dad.
And he was so friendly. He'd go by and wave. And he's got the plane and trying to drive and wave. And this thing. It was awesome.
It was – Peter's amazing. But he did something far more spectacular than the awesome Barbie scooter that was pink and glitter princess on the side.
I think it was his friend that actually made him.
Oh, was it?
I don't
it?
Think that was Peter's creation.
Hey, Joe Nall, there's no shame. Transportation is transportation. You know, like
just take what you can get.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people walking around there that wish they had a Barbie Jeep to ride around in.
There was a gentleman selling his golf cart, and we were actually like, well, we can't really buy it. We can't justify $4,500, but we'll rent it from you. And we paid him to rent this Jeep for sale or this golf cart for sale.
That was probably a wise investment.
Yeah, it was funny because we went to the golf cart rental And there's this lady right in the middle of like 50 golf carts.
Yeah, like, we're like, yes, clean, brand score. New.
Like, hey, we need to rent one of these golf carts. She's like, nope, we can't do it. They're all reserved. And we just started laughing because we thought she was joking. And she's like, no, seriously, you can't have a golf cart.
Yeah. So we were mortified.
So we walked away with our heads down. And then there is a lady driving a nice golf cart that had a for sale sign. We were just like, how much?
How much?
Please let it be $130.
I mean, to be honest, that's a perfect place to sell a golf cart.
Oh,
like,
oh man.
Yes, it is.
Now, we stopped 3 or 4 times to let people take down numbers.
It's like selling water in the desert.
Yeah. Which if somebody has a flatbed and can bring down a ton of golf carts to rent, you'd probably make a pretty penny.
Oh, yeah.
Because golf carts are a hot commodity.
Put five on a trailer. Actually, what would be funny is if you rented 5 from where you live, took them on a trailer, re-rented them
for a premium.
there might be something to that. You might see the flight test trailer with 5 golf carts in the back of it for next year.
You know, we started talking about Peter's plane.
Derailed.
Foam tapes, plane.
Oh, yeah. Cargo plane. It was massive. 14 foot?
14 or 16, I forget.
168 or 170-inch wingspan.
Yeah.
That's massive.
Massive, yeah, and it flew so good.
Yeah, it was made out of 3 mil and 6 mil Dupron, sheeted with craft paper and polyurethane with water base.
That's why it looked like cardboard.
Yeah, and the workmanship that Peter has is amazing. Very clean. The airfoil, the curves, the radiuses. This thing wasn't just thrown together, but he put this together in the course of, what, a month?
Yeah, 4 weeks.
4 weeks. And Peter works 2 jobs. And I was just blown away.
Yeah.
I was
definitely impressive.
Yeah. That's putting some time in. Yeah.
And he flew it great. As a matter of fact, you got some amazing footage. I'm sure we'll show it in the recap.
Yeah. I flew around it with TBS Discovery.
Yeah.
And it was good. We actually wanted to shoot an episode with him, but we just ran out of time. It was so crazy busy and people everywhere.
Probably weather, too, and lost a day due to weather.
I think it's still possibly in the works because didn't he want to have a cargo door droppable?
Yeah. So. He didn't have the cargo door cut yet. We're definitely going to try to make that happen in the future.
Nice. Stay tuned for an awesome big brown plane.
He may paint it, too. Because
really?
He made that airliner that he made. I'm pretty sure he used a lot of the same techniques.
Yeah.
He painted it up. It looked like a scale. It looked like a real airliner.
It really did, yeah.
You know what amazes me is, like just the level of cleanliness on this thing, but he really engineered it out well. This thing was sheeted with 3 mil Dupron, and when you touched it, it was very rigid. It was very impressive. You taking a note, Alex?
Yeah. I'm just seeing if Dave's here.
Ah, cool. Let's see if Dave's here. So, Jen, what do you think the kids' favorite part was?
While he was gone, I thought of Pat Hartness. We got to meet him. We started this whole thing.
Pat.
And I just love the fact he talked to the boys. And, I mean, I think he made their day because he was talking to them like they're adults and just getting their opinion on things. And his hangar and plane was just beautiful.
Well, and you point out an amazing thing. This hangar, it's not down on the main runway.
No, it was the day it was raining. Yeah. We got to take about a 20-minute drive and see some things.
They have an amazing. I don't know how to describe this, but if when you get to Jonah, you'll see what I'm talking about. But they actually have these elevations, like cut away where the RVs park. But also, there's like this taxiway. Mm-hmm. And when he pulls out of his hangar, there's like 3 different doors and 3 different sides. But he has this beautiful Spartan. You remember what it's called? Spartan Cruiser?
Spartan. I forget the manufacturer, but it's an old civilian aircraft.
Amazing.
It's basically like the business jet of like the, I don't know, probably
absolutely
30s.
Beautiful.
1920. What year was it? Was it a 30 or 40?
30s to 40s. I think it's 40s, actually.
Yeah.
And he's had it for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his heart, it's honest. I told him, I said, I want to be like him when he grows up because his heart for connecting people through aviation is exactly where
it's
our heart
incredible.
Is.
Incredible.
Yeah. And the depths that he goes and the investment he puts forward, like I made a mistake. I was like, are you the owner of this place? Because I heard this guy talking behind me and I was like, that has to be the owner. And I knew the whole backstory that, you know, no one owns it. He actually put in a trust. But he was very quick to correct, says, I don't own this place. This is for the people. This is, you know,
that's
a group of people
awesome.
Are charged with maintaining it. And, you know, it'll always be, you know, for people. And just the way he communicated was so eloquent, so touching, you know, really warmed my heart. But like Jen said, he immediately, you know, eyes off of us and right onto the kids, talking to the kids. And they do this thing called Junior Masters. Did you ever hear about this?
No.
Junior Masters is amazing. It's free. And they actually, the kids have to basically be able to know how to take off, land, do loops and rolls. But nothing
too
far.
Oh, yeah, you did mention that.
Too extreme. Yeah. And for free, they go down, and top-notch pilots from all over the country come to Jonal, and they actually teach the kids techniques. And it definitely is something that works, because down on the 3D line, there were so many super young kids that were so tiny and so little, like Noah's. It just blew me away how well they flew.
Yeah.
You know, and he was really adamant about the dads need to help get the kids in the hobby, not just have the kids sitting there while the dads are playing. And, yeah, what a great guy. So I want to do everything I can in the future to promote Joe Knoll or Triple T Aerodrome, because they have a lot more than just Joe Knoll there. Yeah. They have Enol. They have
full-scale fly-ins,
Full-scale fly-ins. But everything is generated towards people being able to make memories and connect through flight.
He had also kind of heard of you guys. He didn't actually know Flight Test, but he said – he heard there was a group of guys building airplanes out of foam somewhere. And you're like, that's me.
it was the coolest thing. I was like, yeah. He goes, I was meaning to get down electric line. Someone's telling me about this group of guys that were, you know, building with other people and helping them get planes in the air. And I just want to see what that's all about. And I was like, well, I think that may be our tent. it was cool, because the fact that people were sharing that story with them really means a lot.
Yeah.
Because that was crazy. Our whole goal was to connect with them.
And he had mentioned his plane. They actually take it to events.
Yeah, to get the word out and to try to spread the impact, you know, connecting through flight. They take that Spartan to all different locations all over the country and park it and have like benefits and have gatherings, just trying to get people inspired through flight. And this plane is not a cheap plane to operate. And the fact that he digs into his pocket to do this. We have to. One of the biggest regrets I had about this trip is we weren't able to sit down for an interview, but he gave us a green light. Whether we go to Enol and do it then, we got to shine a spotlight on this gentleman. He is exceptional and exactly what the hobby needs. And
maybe
what,
do a podcast.
That would be amazing. That'd be amazing. Maybe we can find an excuse just to go down there, because I love it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Pat, thank you. If you're listening to this, thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you're doing, and also for having the great people around you. I know he'd be the first to deflect to the community, because these guys that are part of Triple Tree Aerodrome, they don't just meet every week and fly. They meet 3 weeks out of the month and just keep improving the grounds, and it shows. And then 1 week they'll meet and they'll sometimes fly. So they're fully dedicated into making this experience and making this land everything it should be for the community.
Yeah, I've heard it described as an army of volunteers down there. So that's, and it really shows that they do.
But the hospitality.
Yeah.
There was an army at NEAT, and it wasn't the kind of army that Knoll has.
Yeah, right.
The hospitality and love these people had, and even down to the fact Latinus held impromptu combats. You know, I asked the Air Marshal, and you talked to the Air Marshal about FPV.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, that's fine. Just, you know, follow. He gave some basic guidelines and instruction, but everything was, you know, pretty much a thumbs up, but they gave us some guidance on how to make sure it doesn't intrude on other people.
Yeah.
And
the air marshals were all really, really cool.
Yeah.
There was one guy, I think he was just a pilot, he was yelling at me.
Oh, yeah, he was pretty boisterous. I just heard about this. Tell the story.
Well, I was just flying. I had a spotter. I think it may have been Alex who was spotting me, young Alex.
Yeah.
And, it was literally right after the pilot meeting, which I raised my hand and I asked, can we fly FPV here? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's fine, as long as you either stick with the pattern or stay away from the pattern, like go over the trees or something like that.
Yeah.
And literally I left the pilot meeting and put my goggles on and started flying FPV. And I have my goggles on. I just hear this guy saying, oh, yeah, those kids down there, they're not supposed to be doing that. They can't fly FPV on the electric flight line. And so I was like, well, they said that we were allowed, and he kept yelling at me, and I had my goggles on, so I couldn't see anything.
Yeah, you're flying during this time.
So he kept yelling. I'm like, I'm coming in, I'm landing. I'm like, chill out, I'm landing. Yeah. He said something like, you can't fly 5.8 FPV on the flight line. You have to fly 2.4, which makes no sense at all, because if you fly 2.4, you're going to take everybody out of the sky, because that's what everybody's controlling their planes on. And I don't know who he was.
It sounds like he wasn't on the same page with everyone else there.
He definitely was not. He was not an air marshal. Those guys were all very knowledgeable.
Yeah,
he was just yelling. Yeah, so you get those in every crowd. But
exactly what the air marshal said, because I went up and asked him after that guy was yelling at me. It's like, we're allowed to do this, right? He's like, yeah. And he's like, this guy was yelling at me. And he's like, yeah, there's always one of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, the love and hospitality. And they also put up community tents in every main line. Did you see that?
Yeah, that
big
was really cool.
30 by 30 tents they had stationed there for people to be able to get underneath and get out of the hot sun, which, by the way, brings sun lotion and water.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, not just Mountain Dew. it's very, very important. But that was incredible.
I think it's cool. On their website, it says Triple Tree Aerodrome.
That's the plane that almost crashed.
Oh, the big nice. Yeah. The home of fun, fellowship, and hospitality.
So, see, there's that fellowship word.
Mm-hmm. And they have a bunch of RC fly-ins. There's Joe Knoll, of course, Air Jam, Youth Masters, Heli Extravaganza, E Week, and Frosty Dog Electric. which I'm guessing is a winter fly-in.
It's probably not too frosty down there, I'm guessing.
Yeah, probably not too bad.
It's like, oh, wow, it's 60 degrees. This is horrible.
That's so frosty.
It was cold the one night we were down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually got to turn the heater on, which is good because we got to dry out our shoes.
Yes.
Which is nice. But, yeah, it was up for the most part. It was pretty warm, except for the last. We had a little cold front that moved through. But the people, let's talk quickly stories about some of the people. Crafty Dan was there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And him and his wonderful wife, who's a great artist, was there. They set up in front of us.
I loved sitting back and watching as people would come up and notice that you guys were actually there. The one kid, oh, my gosh, his heart was pounding and he was shaking up to
meet
you guys.
He's like, feel my heart. Yeah. Feel my heart right now.
He's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it's really you.
which is so funny.
You signed his plane. I thought he was going to cry.
Oh, my golly.
I did almost cry. There was a couple moments where I was getting a little teary-eyed.
Some of the people were just genuinely in their stories about what you guys have done and how you've touched them. It's pretty cool.
And that impacts us the most. The stories, we were blessed by you guys to be given the opportunity that we have to have whatever impact you choose to give us. That's a blessing directly given from you guys. And we don't take that for granted. But when you come and you share a story of, you know, either a father and son building something together, reconnecting. We got to meet Toby, I believe was his name.
Cody. Cody and Steve. Steve, we met at NEF, and he told us about Cody.
Yeah.
And we gave him an F-22.
Yeah.
And Steve brought Cody down to meet us at NAW.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool to meet you.
Yeah. And for you guys to share the stories, of how the hobbies, helped you or how it's enabled you to connect with somebody. That's like you said, gets you misty eyes. It wasn't because people were happy to see us. We're happy to see you more. It was just the fact that the personal connection, and we can't thank you enough for that.
I can't believe we haven't thought of this before, but I think a really cool idea for next event. Well, I guess next event would probably be Flight Fest. Well, I guess you're at Meetup technically, but I think it would be really cool to have make up little. You know how we do the SpeakPipe voicemails?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Make up a little business card with that URL on it. And, like, because we were really bad with remembering names and remembering, like, interactions just because there's so many of them, give people those and tell them to leave a quick story on our voicemail.
Can you separate that into a separate inbox?
Probably. I don't know.
Or just set up a different account for that.
Yeah, or set up a different account for that even, So I think that would be really cool. We should do that next time.
And one thing, it's definitely not for our egos. Where our passion is connecting with people through flight. Just to hear your stories, that's the biggest reward we could ever ask for. But also to help gauge where do we need to get stronger up. It's not just to, some people are telling us what we could do to get the show better and what they'd really like to see on the show. And we took that for heart, too. They want, different swappables. One gentleman recommended, building a Bronco swappable.
Yeah.
We take all those very seriously.
They also want more T-shirts.
Tell that story, Jen.
Well, since I was at the sales table, I guess you would call it, the whole time.
That was my phone.
People were just coming up constantly, which we've talked about before, doing ladies' shirts and kids' shirts, and then the white or gray with the black logo. But those are very much wanted.
Marching orders.
Yes, and they also want like hoodies and fleece, and then the polos. People had lots of ideas. Therefore, I kept joking with people that I was going to start writing down tallying what you guys what they want, so I have more behind me to come at you.
I think we know some of that stuff's long overdue.
Yeah,
it's just been a matter of getting it done.
One thing's for sure is I don't think Jen's going to let it drop until it's a reality now. So
I've only been harping on it for a year.
It doesn't get through the guy's thick skulls, you always go to the women. And that's what they did. And we heard you, and I think that'll happen very soon.
Yeah.
The black shirts were a little warm out in the sun.
A little warm. Yeah. A little toasty.
We've gotten that feedback too, like people living in Texas and stuff that, where they're like, hey, listen, they're like, I do not wear black.
Yeah. that a lot, especially down there. People are like, what's with the black?
In Florida, in the middle of the summer, if you wear a black T-shirt, you'll basically melt. Mm-hmm. So,
We
need to work on that.
Well, black is very slimming for me, so.
That's true. It is slimming. It is very slimming. In Ohio, a black T-shirt's fine.
Yeah, it's an asset. Suck all the heat you can out of it. Oh man! So what are we missing? There's too many wonderful people that we could spend a whole entire podcast just. We do need to find a way. We had them sign in the plane.
That is a good start.
Yeah,
that's a good start. Okay. But I think it would be cool just because a lot of people will have a story that have nothing to do with us.
Yeah,
that will. So I like that. I like that business card.
It'd be kind of cool. We could share that. That would definitely inspire and motivate people to do similar. That they see that this actually works. And hopefully that will enable them to say, I want to recreate that.
And you did have a couple people then that went out and built their own. styles of your designs, your own planes, stuff that you guys is.
It was cool. There was a father and a son, and like I said, they picked up two Bloody Wonders, and they spent the whole day in their little camper, you know, building these. And sure enough, when the sun was out the next day, they were out flying together, and that makes my day.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
We definitely need to work on trying to get a better environment for building, because that's a huge blessing.
You need a tent.
Yeah.
I think it'd also be cool if you guys, before you went to these events, put up a schedule online of when you're going to be building and when you're flying, and you know, so you guys have those times for meetups, and when you guys have those times for building, and then you're able to go.
Because otherwise,
maybe.
Yeah, otherwise, Josh just keeps building, and he won't stop building. And he's just building, and we're like, we got to go to dinner. It's like 10 o'clock
Wednesday,
at night.
Wednesday or Thursday, you were building so long, it took you 2 hours to eat a small sandwich. I kept going out, and I was like, you need
to he didn't even eat it because it started raining, and his sandwich got all soggy, and he just threw it away.
He got like half of it, Yeah,
it was, and my apologies, guys, if I got loopy, it was probably because I'm not eating, but it truly, for all of us, I mean, Alex, you're working your tail off, and Dave, too, and Jen. The only thing that grieved me a little bit, I'll be honest with you, I didn't do good enough. I'm always saying, you know, dads connect with your kids. To my shame, I think I was kind of neglectful towards Michael and Noah.
It's hard, though, because when you're going with a family during a work event, it's just, it's a hard dynamic. But I think if you hadn't have been in Orlando, there'd have been more time to get their stuff ready, and so it's just all timing.
Yeah, that's on me. So don't take what I did and all, because Michael and Noah were wonderful. They were very patient about it and stuff. But I wish I could have burned a couple batteries with each of them, you know. But you know, there's time for that. So, yeah. Well, this is the longest dead space we've had.
Yeah, it's like half a second lull. It's like, oh no, what's happening? Yeah.
It just shows how much I talk. I'm trying to think, you know, chronologically, have we missed any of the awesome stuff?
I'm sure we did.
Yeah, well, I tune into the recap, because there'll definitely be different things we pick up on through the recap.
Oh, we flew under the bridge.
Yeah, high tech guys.
With the high tech guys and Peter and his brother. There in that new space, there's a little bridge over some nice little ponds and stuff, and they flew the new was it multiplex Pilatus?
Pilatus, yeah. Oh my gosh, there's a deer walking down the road. Check that out. We're
just in the backyard a few minutes ago.
We're in North Canton, Ohio. I'm sorry, this is total hijacked the topic, but we're in North Canton, Ohio. It's pretty city-ish here, and there's just a deer just trotting down the road on the outside of our fence.
Be careful, little deer.
I thought it was a big dog at first. Good thing Max is sleeping on the table. He'd be totally chasing after that.
It's a big grass-eating dog.
Yeah. Okay, what were we talking about?
I forget.
Pilatus.
Yes, underneath the bridge. The high-tech guys.
Oh, yeah.
We got to close the blinds next time.
We flew with them, did some crazy stuff flying under the bridge, which Brandon Chitty.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a great pilot.
Yeah. Now, that's backstory on the Pilatus. It is the prototype.
And it's Sleepy Seas.
It's Sleepy Seas for review, right? He has to do a review still on it?
I think so, yeah.
So they're like, you know, there's none of that really exists that are flyable right now, and it needs to go to a review. But hey, let's fly it under a bridge on a 20-mile-an-hour crosswind. And it was blistering gusty. He did it like four times. And it was...
Yeah, I was chasing him with the Blackout mini quad. And we also... I had the opportunity to fly with him on the 3D line.
Yeah.
With his, what is that, 100 and... something inch extra.
Yak.
It was huge. It was an extra.
Yeah. Okay. Last year's yak.
Yeah. But yeah, that was kind of nerve wracking. So I give props to David for getting that footage he got last year.
You know what? You did exceptional, man. Because I know your wheelhouse is kind of woods and stuff, but trailing airplanes the way you did phenomenal.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It was a different experience, but just like. That was a very expensive plane. They said the prop alone was $100.
Well, what he was doing, he wasn't flying like the other gentleman was flying a lot of rolling Harriers and a lot of smooth linear lines. He was doing these rolling loops that were so tight it was ridiculous. So he was changing direction on you so quickly.
Yeah.
And everyone's just looking. It's like, is he going to hit him? Is he going to hit him? I mean, everyone's just bracing for it. But you kept clear and kept him in frame a lot. The footage looked amazing.
Yeah.
So good job.
Yeah, which the sunset down at the 3D line is always so beautiful. I think that the 3D line keeps the sunshine the longest out of everything else gets kind of shadowed by the trees. But 3D line has those ponds and stuff, so the sun stays up the longest. Yeah,
yeah. I love that pond. It's only like 4 feet deep, so you can walk out and get your plane.
Yeah,
but they do have a little boat there, just in case. We sadly saw one go down, and
it went down hard too.
Yeah, amazing.
I got some amazing footage of the recovery.
Yeah, it's fun. Do you notice when a plane goes down, like especially in the 3D line, all of a sudden these multirotors pop out of nowhere? There's like three or four multirotors. Like, they're like little flying lawyers, you know, just kind of going to the scene of an accident, but. Yeah, we got some pretty good footage of it, and that was a very kind young man, but something failed on both ailerons, and he was fighting it for about 3 minutes, trying to get back with just rudder and elevator.
Really?
And he had a great attitude. Like I said, he was younger and so polite, you know. These young men and kids from down south, yes sir, no sir, you know. Yeah. Very, very articulate, very kind and calm. Which calm is not really something used in our family, you know, that word. But he was like, yeah, it's a plane. Things happen. I did have it since I was 4 years old.
They rip each other pretty good, though. If you crash down there at the 3D line, as you have to walk past the rest of the guys, there's a lot of trash talking. Yeah,
you hear it definitely. But really cool environment. So that's the 3D line. Let's see. Bill Blair we've talked about.
They're flying some control line.
Yeah, control line. A radio-controlled control line, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I've never seen that done before, actually, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, electric powered. That was amazing. I think we've probably recapped a lot of it.
Yeah, I'd like to hear Dave Knopf's perspective.
I know. I wish
he was amazing. We got to talk a couple times in the trailer and some of his ideas and just the things he was noticing outside of what the rest of us were noticing was.
Yeah, he's an interesting character.
We're blessed to have him on full time now.
We've had him on the podcast once, but I think it's overdue. We need to have him back on again.
Yeah.
Because he's even taking up a little bit of interest in learning how to fly now.
Yeah.
I noticed that, yeah.
Which
would be awesome.
I think he has an MQX, but he doesn't really fly it. I think we need to get him in the air.
Well, yeah, we'll have to definitely get him in the air. And his mind, the way it works around trying to find more efficient ways to do things. He had a lot of really great insight, you know, observing like how he did the store, how he did, you know, the combats and all that stuff.
He and I were laughing because our store is basically a table with some plastic tubs and boxes behind it of airplanes.
Yeah.
And people still came and it didn't matter. You know what I mean? It was what it was.
You guys gave us so much grace about that. And the whole thing wasn't just to come down there and sell you our product, but a lot of people ask, you know, hey, do you have any of these? Do you have any of that? And a lot of stuff Laser Toys just doesn't carry. I thought it'd be a really great opportunity to save them on some shipping. And we also discounted. We ran everything on a, you know, wholesale pricing kind of thing. So that was we just wanted to say thank you, you know, and if they wanted to go and create a memory. Plus, we knew it was going to be bad weather, so we kind of anticipated people would want stuff. Mm-hmm.
I loved it. There was one gentleman who bought his T-shirt, and then he had been up, and he crashed in the water and went in to get it and came back to buy another T-shirt because he didn't want to take it off, and it was wet, and it was cold, but he wanted to wear your T-shirt.
That's funny.
One of the things that warmed my heart, there's a gentleman who's probably plus 80s, you know, and he's driving his little golf cart, and he's wearing a flight test shirt, and then right behind him is a family walking, and the little, you know, five-year-old wearing a small that's baggy on him.
Yeah.
And, man, it just touched my heart.
It was funny as he walked around. Flight test shirts were starting to take over there towards the end.
Yeah, there was a lot of flight tests.
We
people
ran
were
out
going
of
to wrong
them.
Tents looking for you guys because they'd see a group of shirts thinking, sure, that's got to be you. It's not.
I think it's safe to say we're going to allocate a budget to get a pretty big tent maybe.
Yeah, probably a tent, some tables, and get that a little bit more organized because I think probably if more people knew it was there,
we would have
probably a lot more people would have taken advantage of it.
What I felt bad about is a lot of people took the time out of there. There's 1,001 things to do at this event, and they take, you know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, sometimes a couple hours.
To find you guys?
To you know,
a lot
try
of
to find
them
us
saw on Facebook the orange trailer on the back of the and that's how they found us.
This is the orange
they were
trailer.
Looking for the orange trailer. Yeah.
it was humbling. So we want to make it so you guys can find us efficiently, but also when you are there, like, you know, sometimes people are sitting in the rain. We don't want you sitting in the rain. We want to give you an area that you can, you know, be comfortable at. So we'll definitely look into a tent and making it better.
Yeah, we are getting better, but we're still fairly unprepared for these kind of events.
Yeah, we're still kind of new to events.
Got
to
make mistakes before you figure out what the solutions are.
Exactly.
And we're definitely doing that at a very fast rate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
We got a bazillion emails to respond to, and Josh is going to drive a couple more hours yet today.
Yeah.
So we'll probably wrap this up.
Yeah,
but I wanted to talk real quick about the Europe meetup.
Yes,
and just wanted to throw out there anybody that's interested in going to that. That's June 26th, and I realize that's a Thursday, which unfortunately knocked a lot of people out of, you know, possibly being able to come.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, and I wish we had planned that better, but you know, we have we're going to be there for more than just Thursday, obviously, but we're going to, you know, we have a schedule we got to stick to with capturing content. And so hopefully, you know, through that content, everyone will be able to kind of experience the trip a lot better.
There'll definitely be a recap video.
Oh, yeah. There'll be lots of videos coming out of that trip.
Yeah. And hopefully this is just the first of many things like this. One of the goals we have is we want to start shaking hands and meeting you wonderful folks for what you've done for us.
I think a goal should be to take wives and fiancés next time around.
There you go.
You've been talking,
just saying.
Oh, by the way, a lot of people, you said fiancés. A lot of people may not know this, but Miss Lindsay, Alex's fiancé.
Yeah, I was going to say we need to thank her. She kept it.
She was a monster.
Yeah.
An absolute monster.
So if,
in a good way.
In a good way. Oh, yeah.
A good monster.
I mean, in the hip, cool way.
Yes.
As in getting a lot done.
She's shipping. And if anybody ordered something while we were gone the last week and it was fulfilled, it was her that was doing it. And also Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin was manufacturing.
Kevin is a new hire in manufacturing. And sorry, Kevin, I didn't mean to not give you as much props, but thank you for – he worked extra hours as well, too.
Yeah.
Keeping things together, and it warms my heart because we're blessed with really great people here at Flight Test. And one neat thing is getting to bring wives into the matter, or wives to be, because they're phenomenal. Ladies in fulfillment, or you know, shipping, manufacturing, they keep level of organization.
The only problem I see with it is we're not allowed to quit.
That's exactly why we hire them. So, you know, wives aren't allowed to quit. So
once you come, you're stuck.
Yeah, we said a joke earlier on that Alex had to at least get engaged so we could hire someone else because we need, you know, more employees. And he got engaged, and what, about a week later, I think, is when Lindsay started, you know, training. So
yeah,
just that extra layer of commitment.
Oh,
it's good for business.
Anyone that works at Flight Test, and this is why Dave Knopf's a blessing. It has to be something that's very personal to them. You can't just walk in and be like, this is a job, because, you know, shipping the kits out and everything, that's your guys' way of, you know, that's why these 8 episodes are predominantly funded. I know, Austin, you do a great job with sponsorships and everything, but we definitely rely on your guys' support through the store, you know, for a big chunk of meat and payroll and getting the budget to be able to go places.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need people to be able to make sure it's top-notch, everything is done as perfect as possible. We do make mistakes, but... the amazing women we have working back there, and also Kevin, do a really great job.
Yep.
So hats off to you.
I tease you, it's easier to have people back there that aren't as into planes as you all, because if a plane goes up in the air sometimes...
Everyone's gone.
Everyone's outside.
Yeah.
It's game over.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, we're gone. Yeah, we just want to see a flying. Yeah, it's like herding cats. So, okay.
Well, for the Flight Test Europe meetup, we do kind of need a headcount, because Immersion RC has been doing a really good job of putting this... meet up together, but the more info they can have about who's coming, the better. Right now, we have about 100 people signed up.
Wow!
To come to the meetup, which is great considering it's in the middle of the week. It's a Thursday.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, it's you know, not exactly a central location, you know, for Europe anyway. And actually, somebody commented it would probably be better to call it the French meetup, since it is, you know, it's not exactly central to Europe. But we really appreciate the people taking the time to come out for that. So if you've been hearing about that, you're interested in that. You can go to today's podcast page, and we have an Eventbrite set up where it doesn't cost anything to register. But if you could, just go to that page and register for us and give us as an accurate as possible view of who's coming. That would be phenomenal. So, and obviously, Flight Fest coming up. We have more info coming out about that as the more we know. So,
yeah, you guys' support, wow.
Everybody was kind of joking with me at the store when they'd come over that they think you guys might be bigger than Seth. They're anxious to find out who's going to...
I can't even fathom that.
Right now we have about, I believe it's about 250 pilots signed up. And that doesn't...
Wow.
That's only one pilot per group that's coming.
Right.
So there'll be more people that are registered at the
Didn't you say there's one group of 20 people?
Yeah, there was one guy I was going to be bringing about 20 people to it. So it's definitely definitely getting big. We're really excited about that. So that's just 2 months away, less than that.
Yeah, guys, thank you. Got to warn you ahead of time. I am a hugger, so I hug a lot. So just be prepared.
Just get ready.
Yeah, if you don't want to hug, then just tell me, Bixler, back off.
Stay at a distance.
I think I took a couple people off guard at Nolan. I'm sorry for that. Personal space is not always the same for everybody.
Sure, we'll get some letters, some more letters.
All righty. Well, we got a lot of work to do. We probably should wrap it up.
Yep. We thank everyone for listening. And again, you can check out the notes at flighttest.com. And we'll see you all next time.
See you next time.
See you guys.